The sermon we are about to hear this morning is the final sermon of the Daniel series that we've been listening to, prepared by Reverend Stephen Tahard of our sister church in Melville. So we'll read Daniel 12, and the whole chapter forms part of the text for this morning's sermon. So let's turn to Daniel 12 and we'll read that together. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?" Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." After the sermon, let us respond with the singing of hymn 70, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we've come to the end of the end of the book of Daniel. But is the end worse than the beginning? If things looked grim for God's people in Daniel chapter 1, was the future any brighter by the end of chapter 12? We were first introduced to Daniel in chapter 1 when he was just a youth, perhaps 14 years old. The city of Jerusalem was still standing, and the temple was still there, but time of exile had come. Both Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed and all the people carried away into captivity. But now in Daniel 12, Daniel was an old man, probably about 86. The exile was formally over and God's people were permitted to return and rebuild Jerusalem. But life was hard. The opposition was relentless and the future looked bleak. But if that wasn't bad enough, The Lord now told Daniel in a vision that in time to come, things would be even worse. The second sentence in Daniel 12 verse 1 says, "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time." And when the question was asked in verse 6, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" Daniel heard in verse 7 that it would not be until the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end that all these things would be finished. And so I ask you, is the end worse than the beginning? If things look grim for God's people in Daniel chapter 1, was the future any brighter by the end of chapter 12? And the question is not only to be asked regarding Daniel and the people of God in years gone by. The question can also be asked regarding us. Will there be an end to the suffering we are going through? Will things get any better? Is there any hope, any future for us to look forward to? For sure, it's not as though life is always hard and the times are always bleak. We have moments of joy and times of gladness. But for God's people individually and collectively, both the Bible as well as our common experience tells us that life is often hard and the suffering is real. And at times, that pain and suffering seems just too much. At times we cry out to God, and even as we cry out for relief, we ask, "How long, O Lord? Will these hardships go on forever? O God, where are you when I cry? Why don't you answer when I plead for deliverance? We've had enough, Lord. Surely you know that we can't do this much longer." But then God comes to us with Daniel chapter 12. And in this chapter he tells us that although troubles will come, so will the end. And the message given to Daniel and to us is that we should not be discouraged to the point of despair, but rather to press on, to keep on being faithful to the very end, knowing that God himself is faithful and the end will surely come. And that's the message we will hear this morning. The theme is, "Go your way, faithful to the end." And we'll consider two questions. First, when will things get better? And secondly, how is it all going to end? So firstly, when will things get better? You can understand the discouragement felt by both Daniel and the faithful people of God in the third year of King Cyrus. For 70 years, God's people had been in exile in Babylon, and for 50 of those years, Jerusalem was in ruins and the temple was destroyed. But for as long as they were in exile, God's people clung on to the hope that one day they would return. "If I forget you, O Jerusalem," the psalm writer wrote in Psalm 137 while in exile in Babylon, "if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy." How they longed for Zion to be restored, how they yearned to be back with God in the glorious land of Israel. And then suddenly, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the people could return. It was so good, so wonderful. As they made their way back to Jerusalem, the people did so with high hopes and great joy. They sang in Psalm 126, verse 1 to 3, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad." But now, less than 3 years later, that joy and that gladness had evaporated. Now their hopes for a quick rebuilding of Jerusalem seemed fanciful. Now they began to feel that the task was too big. The opposition was too strong, and the discouragement they felt was too burdensome. It was then, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that Daniel turned to God for 3 weeks with prayer and fasting. But the message he received from God through a heavenly being, a man clothed in linen, was that there was no quick answer to all of this, no immediate relief to the trouble God's people faced. To the contrary, things were far worse than they first seemed. In Daniel 10, the Lord revealed that behind the physical and the earthly struggle God's people were experiencing was a spiritual struggle where the hosts of evil were hell-bent in their rage against the people of God. And then in chapter 11, Daniel received a long and detailed prophecy of what would happen in the years to come, how the Persian Empire would be taken over by the Greeks, how the Greek Empire would soon be split into four, how God's people in Israel would be squeezed between the kings of the north in Syria and the kings of the south in Egypt, and how one of those kings of the north, whom we now know was Antiochus Epiphanes IV, would cause great suffering to the people of God and would set up what Daniel 11 and 12 calls the abomination that makes desolate in the temple, and who would desecrate the temple by having an altar of Zeus in there and offering pigs on that altar. But not only that, although it was not so clear to Daniel at the time, we now know that the coming of the contemptible Antiochus Epiphanes, as he described in Daniel 11 verse 21, was only the prelude, the curtain raiser to something else. Because the end of chapter 11 describes an Antichrist who was to come and who would be far worse even than Antiochus. And now in chapter 12 we learn that the suffering of God's people would exceed the suffering experienced under Antiochus when violence was rife and many were killed for the sake of their commitment to the gospel. And so, if Daniel had reason to wonder, so do we. When will things get better? But it is not just us who wonder how long. In Daniel 12, verse 6, this was also the question of the angel. Reading again from Daniel 12, verse 5 and 6, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, 'How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?'" The man clothed in linen was the heavenly messenger who had given this vision to Daniel when Daniel was on the bank of the river Tigris. But now at the end of this vision, he sees two others standing there on either side of the stream with the man clothed in linen in between them, above the waters of the stream. It makes good sense to consider these two others as angels. And indeed, 1 Peter 1 verse 12 tells us that angels too long to know how the history of salvation would unfold. And then the question was asked, how long shall it be until all of these shocking events are over? And then the man clothed in linen raised both his hands to heaven to swear an oath by the name of him who lives forever in the name of God. Verse 7, "And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished." By raising both his right hand and his left, the man clothed in linen made it doubly clear that what he said was the truth. And what was absolutely true was that although suffering would increase, the end would most certainly come, and all these things would be finished. The end would come after a time, times, and half a time. But how long is a time, times, and half a time? We don't know. Some people count one lot of time as 1 year, meaning that this would be a period 3.5 years. But even if that's true, we still don't know when the end will come. Further, as we also saw in Daniel 7, it is better to take this period of time symbolically rather than literally. And then the half a time indicates that the time set by God for when the end would be is somehow cut short. And indeed, we know that God has cut short this time of suffering for the sake of his elect. Concerning the last days, our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." But in Daniel 12, there is also another period of time that is mentioned in verse 11 and 12. "And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Now, I confess that I don't know exactly what that all means. But when you find a difficult passage like this, you need to start with what you know and then interpret Scripture with Scripture. That is, you look to the rest of the Bible to discover the meaning of this passage. With respect to the abomination that makes desolate, we've already seen that this refers to that altar that Antiochus Epiphanes set up in the temple in 167 BC, and when he sacrificed pigs to the Greek god Zeus. But then when you turn to the New Testament, you discover that the abomination set up by Antiochus was a precursor or a taste of things to come. In Matthew 24, our Lord Jesus Christ predicted the fall of Jerusalem as well as the end of all time. And he referred back to this abomination that makes desolate as something that was still to come. He said in Matthew 24, verse 15 and 16, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." In Matthew 24, therefore, the Lord Jesus used the abomination spoken of in Daniel to refer to something that would soon come at the fall of Jerusalem when the Roman army would trample over the temple. But even that would not be all, because in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus looked beyond the fall of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD, to the end of the age and the time when he would return. And that's what we're seeing here in Daniel 12 also, where the vision Daniel received went from Antiochus Epiphanes to the Antichrist, to the very end of time and the resurrection of the dead. And so we do not see Daniel 12, verse 11 and 12, as being completely filled with Antiochus Epiphanes in 167 BC, nor even with the fall of Jerusalem, but we may even anticipate some form of abomination that is still to come, when the man of lawlessness or the Antichrist will be revealed. But then what about those days? What about the 1,290 days? I do not know the answer to that question. Perhaps we will know the answer one day, but not yet. It seems that the complete fulfillment of this verse still lies in the future. Some people have noticed that 1,290 days is approximately 3.5 years. So it might be the same as a time, times, and half a time. But even then, the number is probably symbolic for something. But whatever we make of this, and there are a few different interpretations, what we are being told here is that things will get better and that the persecution and the suffering of God's people will come to an end, but not without a prolonged time of suffering. For even after the 1,290 days, even when it seems like the end has come, God's people are called to wait just that little bit longer, a month and a half to 1,335 days. Those extra days will be hard. And so God has warned you and called you to be prepared and to persevere just that little bit longer. Concerning the last days, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 9 to 13, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The one who endures to the end will be saved. And as Daniel 12, verse 12 puts it, "Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. The days will be long, and the trouble God's people face will be many. But what must Daniel do in the face of all that? Verse 13, "But go your way to the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days." Go your way, Daniel. That is, never mind about the details. Those things will become clear as time goes on. But as for you, go your way. Be faithful. Press on in the confidence that God is on his throne and that the end will come. And that brings us to our second point. So how is it all going to end? In Daniel 12, verse 6, an angel asked, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" But then in verse 8, Daniel himself asked a slightly different question. "O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" What shall be the outcome? How is it all going to end? It is important to understand that Daniel has just learned that before the end, life would be very hard for the people of God. There shall be a time of trouble, he was told in verse 1, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. And verse 7 says that the end would only come after the shattering of the power of the holy people. And earlier in chapter 10, Daniel had been told that it was not just physical suffering of God's people to be considered, but that the spiritual battle that is raging is even more serious, more ferocious than we could ever have imagined. And so he wondered, how is it all going to end? And the man clothed in linen said to Daniel in verse 9 and 10, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed unto the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand." Even the suffering that God's people go through will ultimately be a blessing to them. for through it we are purified. As the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our suffering is like the refiner's fire, the Bible teaches us, and through it God is bringing his children to glory. And so Daniel 12 verse 3 tells us, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. It will not be easy, and no suffering is, in and of itself, a good thing. But through suffering, God will refine us, and he will make us shine to the praise of his glory. But suffering in and of itself will not do that. Although the righteous will be refined, this does not apply to the wicked. But rather, as Daniel 12:10 says, the wicked will continue to act wickedly, and the wicked will not understand. And then the end will come. And going back to verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. When all these things come to an end, the dead will rise. There is no significance in the fact that Daniel 12 verse 2 says that many will rise from the dead rather than all. That's just a matter of speaking. From the rest of Scripture, we know that it is indeed every last person who ever lived who will rise from the dead on the last day. But more important here is what we will all rise to. Some to everlasting life, but some to shame and everlasting contempt. Some to be with God forever, and some to be thrown into hell. But where will you be on that last day? Where will you go after you face the judgment seat of God? How will you be delivered to everlasting life? Will the refiner's fire lead you to shine like the stars in their brightness? Or will you be like the dross that symbolizes the wicked? My brothers and sisters, if the book of Daniel was to leave you with the idea that the only way to be saved is to save yourself, you would be lost. If the book of Daniel left you with the notion that you'd be left alone in the fire, you would be burned. If the book of Daniel suggested that you'd have to face the lions alone, you would be devoured. But the message of the book of Daniel is not that. The message of the book of Daniel is that however things might seem, God is in control. He sits on his throne. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and he will redeem his people. And so chapter 12, verse 1 says this, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, every one whose name shall be found written in the book. When troubles come, when suffering increases, remember that God has sent his angel to take charge of you, to minister to you, and to deliver you. The archangel Michael and all those with him are battling the forces of evil for the people of God. Yes, for you, his child. And everyone whose name is written in the book of life will be saved. And who are those whose names are written in the book of life? It is those, Revelation 7 verse 14 says, who have come out of the tribulation and who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those who are redeemed in Jesus Christ are those whose names are written in the book of life. And if you believe in Jesus, your name is in that book. And if your name is in that book, you will be delivered from all suffering and from every tribulation. As Jesus himself said in John 10, verse 27 to 30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. For those of you who are in Christ, therefore, the book of Daniel should not cause you to fear, but it calls you to faith, calls you to an increased faith and trust in God that he is the King of Kings and that his kingdom will endure forever. The book of Daniel leaves us with no doubt that this present life and this present age will be tough. The book of Daniel leaves us with no doubt that the righteous will suffer. But the book of Daniel also tells you that the outcome is sure. Both the battle and the outcome is the Lord's, and he will be victorious. And so Daniel was told in chapter 12, verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Shut up the words and seal the book. This does not mean that Daniel was to hide the book away or to keep it secret, but the book was to be sealed. The words would not change. The things that God had told Daniel would take place in the way that they had been prophesied. There is no more for Daniel to do. He has been told enough. And so Daniel is told, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Daniel 12, verse 9. And then verse 13, but go your way to the end. Go your way, faithful to the end, because the end is sure. And when it comes, you, Daniel, shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. Your name will be found in the book of life, and to you also the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And now, what about us? Where does the book of Daniel leave us? Is the end of the book of Daniel worse than the beginning? If you look grim for God's people in chapter 1, does it look any better for us by the end of chapter 12? My brothers and sisters in Christ, the book of Daniel was not written to frighten us, but it was written to strengthen us. It was not written to make us fearful, but it was written to call us to be faithful. Like Daniel, we are citizens of two kingdoms. Like Daniel, we are living in Babylon as citizens of Zion. Like Daniel, we might worry what might happen to the people of God and the kingdom of God. But through Daniel, we have received the word of God. Through Daniel, we have received encouragement from God. And through the book of Daniel, we have received the assurance that while kingdoms rise and fall, God sits on his throne. And he will be there for you until the very end. So go your way. Go your way till the end. And you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Amen.